Welcome to the CineStory podcast. This month we bring you a conversation with Pamela Pierce, CineStory's co-founder and executive director emeritus. Since founding CineStory 17 years ago, Pam has had the opportunity to work with hundreds of writers and has seen firsthand how the business has evolved. When Pam and I caught up during the last CineStory retreat, I began by asking her what the environment was like in 1995 when the organisation emerged. Enjoy. All right, so this month on the podcast we have CineStory's founding executive director, Pam Pierce. Hi, Pam.
Good morning. Or evening.
Yes, depending on when people are listening to this. We're in the midst of the 2012 retreat, so things are fairly chaotic, but I wanted to sit down with Pam and just talk about the origins of CineStory. And so what was the environment like for aspiring screenwriters when you began CineStory? Well, first of all, it was founded in
1995.
Okay, yeah.
And the environment then, I had been working on screenwriting and getting a degree and then working in the business from about 1978 to 85. So by the time 1985 came around, there was a resurgence or a surgence of writing, people who were writing needs. It was just coming out of that idea that writers were so much in the background that you really just went to LA and somehow signed up.
Right.
And a few books like Sid Field's book were out, but none of the information that was coming out was in a one-on-one form or a all of you writers who want to be writers, can we meet in the middle and meet the people who are dealing with writers in the industry? And I was involved in the first film festival that was designated for writers, the Austin Film Festival, which had a huge component of conference, contest, and one-on-ones, and lots of people who were invested in writing in the industry and actually wanted to talk about it. Once I was on the staff of the first Austin Film Festival and saw what a difference it made. The people that came out for this were different than the filmgoers. They were really the adult writers throughout the country who wanted to somehow connect to the industry and understand how it works. And there was so little information that we found. We were very successful in that.
Right. Because there weren't many contests or anything at the time. Was Austin one of the first?
Austin was probably the first 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. Some of them were very small and disappeared. And the Nickel Fellowships have been around since 82 or 83, but there were very few independent of the Nickel Fellowships, and there was the Chesterfield
Writers Project.
Fellowships,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Several of those were ongoing, but it was a very small minority mm-hmm. of people who could even get into the industry through that. So what we were looking for in Austin was a way to gather not just teachers and screenplay writers, but the people of the business meeting with the people who were intent on finding a way into the
right.
industry.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was lovely. There was 400 or 500 people that showed up, and we thought maybe 100 would.
Right.
It may have been, no, it was closer to 1,000. And we were basically people managing the entire week and how to just get people from place to place. I learned a lot about things there, and two significant things happened there. Three. One is I became good friends with Greg Beale, who was there for the mm-hmm. first time. And I had just started there for the Austin Film Festival screenplay contest that time, and I'd used some of my background, because I'd been working with writers for the 10 years before that, to and coming from a writer's perspective, what would please the writer, not just sitting there listening to a seminar mm-hmm. with a panel or one yeah. person talking. And Greg being fairly new at the coming in as the director of the Nickel Fellowships, we exchanged notes and really developed a long-term relationship based on what we were trying to do in the industry. The second thing that happened is I met Donna Cooper, who was the master screenwriting teacher at the American Film Institute mm-hmm. at that time, and have written a really nice little book about screenwriting, one of the very first ones, one of the few, and was a healthy lady who loved to meet with writers one at a time.
Right.
And we felt, both of us, once I heard how she spoke and how she delivered the compassion and the passion towards writers, and because she was an NBC developing exec for both movies for TV and series, she had daily access to people coming in and developing their writing skills with her.
Right.
So the two of us really hit it off, and we decided, when at that time the Austin Film Festival was a for-profit venture, to just have a festival and find a niche for it. Mm-hmm. We wanted to work from the screenplay writing access out rather than have a film festival that writers might attend. Mm-hmm. So we sat for days trying to come up with the name of the thing, and CineStory, you know, just popped in. It's one of those things that we got it copyrighted right away. We love the name. It was basically started as a nonprofit to inform writers who live outside of the Hollywood zone and get them involved with what was going on in the business. We were in Chicago. We were in Austin at the time. And Donna worked in L.A., mm-hmm. But because it was that summer, we got the news that we were moving to Chicago, because my husband became the chair of a film program at Columbia College Chicago. So we moved up there, and our idea of giving small interpersonal seminars, bringing people out from both New York and LA to meet with writers in the middle of the country was the instigation that we really needed. Whether it was Austin or Chicago, we were very involved with that.
Right. And then, so you were, CineStory was in Chicago for a number of years?
Yes, we moved there. Yeah, we moved there in 94 and started, no, in 95. We started CineStory in the fall of 95. In Chicago, and we were there associated with, had our own offices and associated with the University of Chicago and the Columbia College Chicago in different formats until 2001. Mm-hmm. And during that time in Chicago, we established a 100 writer, 200 mentor conference that limited the number of people, because I was starting to believe that the less people that were there, the more time you would get individually and hearing, developing relationships, not contacts.
Right.
And that became my little inner call
yeah.
To constantly think of it as a place where people could really feel like they were becoming a part of what of the cycle of the industry.
Well, that's because I think the thing that everyone finds unique about CineStory now is just the human, the small scale of everything, and how, you know, now at the moment we bring up about 20 writers and about 15 industry executives, and it's a very small group. I mean, so you, and it's the model that you built up. So after the bigger conferences, which were called script sessions, right?
Then correct.
You developed this other.
The retreat idea came about because I was actually still in Chicago, but going to LA, of course, mm-hmm. a lot. And the idea of having mentors, people in the industry who could drive somewhere and not have the
right.
big deal of flying out started to sound pretty good to me. And we started in Lake Arrowhead at the UCLA facility there, which is only for nonprofits. And we had we created pretty much the same thing. We may have had 15 writers and 8 or 9 mentors, mm-hmm. and I think we put a limit on how this format can handle
yeah.
a certain amount. The ratios are about the same. You can sit. You have every meal with at least 2 or 3 mentors that you didn't meet the last mm-hmm. time you had a meal.
Yeah.
And yet you were still getting to know them as people and how they function outside of the industry, in a community where there is no business going on but the business of developing relationships with writers.
Yeah, and talking about the craft too, that's what another thing that's so amazing about the whole retreat experience is that you just spend these 4 days just there's a lot of career and business advice too, which writers obviously need because that's often a side of things they're lacking, but
right.
having those one-on-one meetings and talking really in depth in a really in-depth
right.
way with professionals who, you know, are the people who are potentially going to be reviewing your work when you send it in, if you have the good fortune to have it land across someone's desk, you know, it's so invaluable. It's such an inside view as opposed to script consultants or things like that that exist
right.
in the industry. But
I think I'm so happy this has been carried on. We're pretty pure
mm-hmm.
in our belief that at these meetings and pretty much anything that deals with CineStory is not someone selling something to
yeah.
someone else. There's enough of that going on, and in the 15 years that CineStory has been around, the growth of that cycle has been
Exponential.
Exponential.
Yeah.
And when you attend an expo, it's almost counterintuitive to what we're really doing in CineStory.
The creative process and to that developing relationships,
right.
the idea of developing relationships.
The last thing, in fact, I mean, we sit in a circle when we're having informal meetings at CineStory, and it's almost difficult to see 3 people sit in a chair that looks like a panel,
yeah.
even though they're soft, cushy chairs,
yeah, yeah.
in the front, because really it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is so so powerful back and forth. You see wheels turning in the writers' heads,
mm-hmm.
but you also know, because we talk to everybody afterwards, how the wheels are turning in the mentors' heads, because we're bringing them back to a pure space themselves that they rarely have a chance to deal with. So that's been one of the big satisfying
I know.
Things.
I think that's something that when we do the final session and the mentors talk about why they come up here and volunteer their time, there's always 2 or 3 people who just bring it back to that. You know, my daily life, I have so many business things to be concerned with when I'm developing a project, and here I can just come and talk about story, which is the reason I got into the business in the first place. So it's this... It's really nice for them to be able to take it back to that level, as well as for the writers too.
Yeah, and I think that even though we try to have a variety of events, and it's wonderful, for instance, to have John August today, I think that When you ask writers at, and mentors at the end, what was the most important part? Well, it was the community. Mm-hmm. And the only, when people say, oh, it's kind of like a mini Sundance. And having been not to the writers or director sessions, individual sessions, but certainly to Sundance, and having talked to so many people who've done the Sundance thing, there is a pressure there that is exciting, and yet it's not as stripped down as what's going on here. I just think that what we're doing is preparing writers for the many different kinds of personalities, the many different kinds of ways into the business, and the many kinds of feelings that you're going to have when you're working with people one-on-one. And because they're meeting with three people one-on-one, you're and generally they're three different disparate people who do different things in the business, you are getting experience like no other. And they have read your stuff in advance, and they have read your biography in advance. So those mentors have gotten to know who you are by all your hopes and dreams and projects, as well as the thing they're supposed to be commenting on.
Yeah, which is such a unique thing, because you might, as a writer, hopefully you get a chance to get notes from executives or managers on your work, even if they're not interested in pursuing it or signing you or whatever. But those people don't come to that meeting with a holistic understanding of who you are as a writer and where you'd like to go. And that the whole matching process that we do, that you began with, the huge puzzle that the staff puts together of just like looking at each individual writer, what their bio says, what other projects they have, where we think they need specific help, and then looking at the mentors and trying to match people up, I think is probably really unique too.
It's handmade. It's handmade. It's nurturing, and you've as Sinistory, the people behind the retreat who put these people with other people, it's incredibly satisfying that there's so rarely that there is anyone that doesn't get it. By the time they leave, they come in, they're not sure what's going to happen, and by the time they leave, they feel like they have had an experience they would never, and they wouldn't, never have in any other circumstance. Doesn't matter how many conferences and expos and speeches that you go to, or Q&As after films. So I think that it's the matching technique of finding the people, you knowing the mentors and knowing the writers, and then finding which might be the people that will touch them a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think that if anybody in the business wanted to make a difference in the business, it's almost like the education of this kind of writing is very particular, and it's almost like trying to figure out, in education, it's important to know that you are making a difference early on with writers, before they go into the business with preconceived notions. We get rid of the preconceptions and give them the conceptions.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
So you have had a chance to work with dozens or hundreds of writers. I don't know if you're keeping a tally, but over the years. So what, in your opinion, what are some of the most common craft issues that they come up against, or misconceptions of the business, or
I think on the craft side, since 1985, and then of course with my own writing and being in workshops while I was at college and graduate school and that kind of thing as well, but working with writers, I think it's the misconception is that it takes less than five drafts.
Right.
That's for the newest writers. That it's easy. But everyone says that. When it comes to the craft itself, I think it's being stopped at Act 2. It's being stopped in the middle and realizing that you're just rewriting Act 1 all the time and not getting on with your work.
Yeah.
So I think part of the importance of what's going on here is the congratulations that you actually finished a script, and that from there the template is to be worked on. Because it's not finished, and of course it's not finished till it's even made and edited and that kind of thing. So the attitude of what constitutes your worth and how and what you get to concentrate on and how far you have to go with the work before it's shown to anybody is something that has to be learned.
Yeah.
And the second thing would be misconceptions about the industry. It changes every year. So I think, in particular right now, wow, you have to be, you cannot settle for just saying, I'm going to write 3 feature scripts.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be, there's different ways in. Things are somehow more open in some ways, more closed on others. And I think you have to be even more entrepreneurial than you were before. One of the things that Donna and I taught from day one, and I think it's even more true now, is the idea that as a writer, you have to be a producer of your own work.
Right.
Not producing the writing, but a producer in the sense that you are going to be looking for the people who will finance, or be interested enough to find the money, or be interested enough in you to find out your worth as a writer in the industry. You have to, and now it is even more apparent that writers need to be more fleet-footed in how they fit into the industry and what excites them and finding out where their niche is, because there's more niches, but there's less opportunity sometimes to find those niches unless you are elastic enough to say, I can do things in television. I'm going to attack story from the website of producing things that somehow this webisode thing might take off still, you know, and be watched by people. I want to attract, it's a personalization that too many people think is just, I'm going to write the screenplay and I'll get in that way.
Yeah, and then send it out there. Yeah, it's a really interesting time. There's so much transition. There are a lot fewer spec sales than there have been in the past, and the writers who are already established in the industry are finding that there's less work, so it's hard,
absolutely.
You know, on those upper echelons, there are a lot of people who are having to take work that normally would have gone to people who are coming up in the industry. So as you said, there are sides opening up, like all this new media stuff, and that's pretty much open to anyone who has the willpower to see it through, right? But
right.
Then if you're thinking about just that traditional career of I write a script and I send
yeah.
it out there and it wins a contest and someone buys it or something like that, that's that model, if it ever really existed in that way, doesn't seem to exist so much anymore.
Right. And the people, some of the people here at CineStory who maybe got to do a film that they won CineStory with, like Mark Ferguson, Hawk Osbaldy, and they found their way writing in a certain niche and never getting produced, and finally did find a way to produce and direct. Mark directed his the feature that he had won at CineStory, and there's that was the chutzpah they needed at the time.
Yeah,
and I think it's even more complex, interesting, challenging, and favorable to people who are ready to invest as much as they can in time in it. And But it was always challenging.
Yeah.
Too many people thought it was too easy. Anyone can write a screenplay kind of idea. And it was never that way. It's just a new time for us to find out where everything fits.
Yeah, there. I think part of the problem, too, is there have always been these stories of the new writer who comes in and sells a spec for six figures and, you know, that everyone, that's the lottery ticket that such a small percentage of people could ever get in the first place.
Right.
But, of course, everyone dreams that that person's going to be them, but you have to have something, you have to have a plan B.
Yeah. You know, and in case, I mean, not everyone is Diablo Cody.
Yeah.
Not everyone can make basically it's almost like a trendy hit that and they realize that, but these people also have lots of stuff in their arsenal already. It wasn't that Diablo Cody just did Juno and all of a sudden there she was. She had a lot of projects, a lot of things ready to go.
Yeah, when you hear about these people who just seem to make it overnight, you find out that overnight was really 10 years or however long.
Exactly.
It's just the narrative that gets sold, it's much more interesting if it's an overnight success story, but I think that's probably pretty rare thing. So that brings me to, well, we kind of covered this, but I wanted to ask you in what ways you think things are harder now for aspiring screenwriters than they were when CineStory first started. I mean, first of all, there are a lot more people aspiring to be screenwriters, right?
Well, I think there's a lot more people that get the idea, and then because of the influx of materials, books, offerings, conferences, schools that offer a lot more screenwriting. So I think the influx is, I can do this, is you know, the instigation for them to say, oh, all I have to do is go and learn things at all these places. And go to listen to the gurus talk at an expo is different than sitting down in front of course, the blank sheet of paper kind of idea, the blank screen. The hardest thing now for screenwriters might be that, for me, if I was a new screenwriter now, I would hate to go to one of these screenwriting expos because there's too many people. Mm. It exposes you to the fact that there's so many people trying to do the same thing, and it might turn you off.
Yeah.
I think that working even at your local news station, if you're into the journalism side, or you know, working in some way within the industry where you are and getting a feeling for what the rhythms of the industry will help you to not feel you were among the cattle call of people. Yeah. That are flowing from one thing to another and becoming conference nuts who just feel like if I can pitch to go to the next pitch session and pitch to 20 people, which is great practice. Everybody needs to, you know, find their, you know, where their ego is left off and where their creativity might come in and whether they're very good at verbalizing. But, you know, everything... I think it's just that feeling that there's just too much. Hence, back to CineStory. If you've got to find your own community, and of people who are small enough so that you feel like you are a cog in the wheel and not a pebble on the road that the cog goes over. I don't know.
Yeah, a grain of sand on the beach.
So, and I think that's another important thing about CineStory and why anybody that believes in it should be supporting it.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that it always happens at the retreat, but last year the writers, one of the writers put together a Facebook group for those writers who've been at the retreat last year. And they've just been supporting each other and offering advice, you know, doing post-vow, like, I have to go to this meeting with this person, does anyone know them? Or, you know, I have this story, I have this script ready, does anyone know this contact over at this production company?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that because I'm
emeritus now.
I'm emeritus.
You get to sit back.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, so I think that the other thing for writers out there to remember is that it's not just, I think sometimes people are always looking to make those industry contacts,
yeah,
but it's the peers who are around you. If you're surrounded by other really strong writers, then they're going to make contacts too. It's like Facebook. It's like you have friends and they have friends and they have friends and they have friends. So your circle widens, and you shouldn't be just focusing on trying to, you know, get someone's business card, but build your own community, and that will be there to support you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's just another way that it goes completely right back to the what we believed at the beginning of CineStory, is you find your community by interpersonal relationships that then flow outward, and instead of trying to gather information as an individual.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, just one last question I wanted to ask you. I know that you are also a writer. You were the first recipients of the Nicol Fellowship before it was at the Academy, when it just started out. Mm-hmm. And so when you were starting out, what is something you would have really liked to have known that you only learned moving forward?
Because I got the opportunity to, within 10 years of starting to write, to answer that question through CineStory. So, I co-founded, Donna wasn't a writer, well, she really wasn't a writer, and I was. So I came at it from the writer's POV, and she came at it from the other side of the desk POV. And I think that's why it works so well, is that I think that I answered all of those questions by giving writers what I felt I would want to have, the information and the way you make contacts. And so every time I developed a new source, even in the old days at Austin Film Festival, I was hired because I was already working individually with writers, but also because I've worked in the industry in L.A. and had come to understand how things really worked, which most people in Austin at that time hadn't. So that's kind of actually why I was hired to come in and formulate it. But it was all because, as a new writer back in the day, I was hungry for extensive I know what it was. I was at Stanford for 3 years, 3 or 4 years. They had a fiction screenwriting program, which is not there anymore. It's mainly a documentary media program. But at that time, the person who started that program, who also brought the Nicols to fruition and then brought it to the Academy, was a producer from the old days, from the 40s and 50s in Hollywood. And at that time, it was, again, 1981, 82, I think, is when he came in and I started going to school there. He would bring up all his old buddies for a weekend. So we were having meals with them and talking to them as people, not presenting our work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to understand, he would bring up his agent friends, his acting friends, we had Burt Lancaster, we had Jack Lemmon, and in that day they were the old old guys.
Yeah.
And then we had and then we would have Sidney Pollack came for a weekend.
Wow.
We got to know him as a person. We got to know how he thought. We also got to see him. He brought up Absence of Malice writer, whose name I've forgotten, who was a journalist, an editor in a paper, and who wrote Absence of Malice with Paul Newman and Sally Field. At that time, he was developing it with Sydney, and they worked on their thing with us being flies on the wall in the room.
Yeah.
They were working on the development of the script in front of us. So all of those ideas, because our teacher wasn't a teacher, he was just a producer who came up and said, hey, this is the end of my time. I'm going to bring everyone I know up. And I think that's where the idea that this was the way I wanted to learn how to write.
Yeah.
It was by having both the closet time to write, but also the collaborative time of finding out how people worked in a business.
Yeah, you can hear right there the origins of what became CineStory and how you...
I'm seeing that now myself.
I know. So
we had David, we had Richard Zanuck and his partner, David, who did, started Jaws. I mean, these were like the old guys of Hollywood, but they were the guys who had gotten into the late 60s, early 70s part of Hollywood, when everything exploded and you felt like you could do anything. And those were the movies that I watched that made me want to be a writer in the later 70s when I was ready to do something about it.
Yeah.
We also had the... I'm sorry for not for remembering the names. The guy who created Hill Street Blues. And a few of the people who were off in the television world but were really storytellers. And everything informed us. And I think that's what's happening in a different way at each one of these retreats, is that experience of feeling at a very close quarters what is going on, and not being a writer's a writing workshop at the same time. They've submitted their things, and it's more about getting the information, the reactions to your writing that you would never get in any other circumstance.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Pam. I'm glad we got to the...
You gave me my realization of...
We went right deep into the origins of CineStory.
That's great. And you just gave me a flow of my life that I didn't have before. Thank you, Claire.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. Well, thanks very much to Pam Pierce, and we will see you again next month for the podcast.
If you missed out on your chance to apply to the 2013 retreat, never fear. Entries for the 2014 CineStory Screenwriting Awards and Fellowship open October 1st. CineStory would like to thank Don Bowden for the use of the track Home from his album This One's Gonna Leave a Mark. Don is a composer for film, TV and other media. To find out more about his work, visit donbowden.com. Finally, CineStory is a non-profit organization. So if you like what you hear, consider supporting CineStory and these podcasts by making a donation at cinestory.org/support us. Until next time, happy writing!